think you have too much fun sometimes. But that's good. I mentioned to Margaret earlier that with all of her family here, we really ought to pay them tribute and homage and make it a two-hour service. So I ran downstairs and said, put it on warm. Turn the heat down. So it'll still be warm, but no, not really. I wanted to one time finish in 60 minutes, and that's still my goal. Let me see. You do the math. 11 times 52, and we'll see if I can get it right once. Jane is actually looking forward to it because what's your reasoning on that? I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Sunday school follows worship. And so if you don't want to make your Sunday school teachers really angry, you better get done by 10:30 so that they can start Sunday school on time. And, of course, the coffee is between. That's a terrible arrangement. I don't know who would come up with that. I had a friend who served down in Oskaloosa Central United Methodist Church, and he always said, He was very nice. He was an amazing man. Milo Morris was his name. He was one of our parish visitors, and he said, well, when I was down there, we were on the radio, and you had 60 minutes and not a second more, and they shut you off. So he said, I always made sure to get to the benediction in time, but he said, sometimes I'd have to fill in some stuff that I'd left out after the benediction. So anyway, the passage that I have up here is just do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And that's a passage that since I was about 14 years old has guided me. It's probably, I didn't look back, but it's probably the passage that I preached on the first Sunday that I was here 11 years ago. It's the last passage I preach on today. And do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Do your best. That's all we can do. We aren't going to do everything perfectly. We aren't going to do everything. All we can do is do our best. And then it's do our best to present yourself to God as one approved. So we aren't here, no one's here to necessarily have the approval of everyone, but if God approves. This isn't about preachers, this is about living, and it's about you and me and how we live our life and what kind of a testimony that we can create. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And we do pray that whatever we do together, individually or together, that it is guided by the Bible. And that it is with that struggle that the Bible calls us to guide how we live and how we treat one another and how we treat creation and how we interact with the world and how we interact with the community as a church, how we interact with Tipton and Cedar County and how we look at that as our mission field. And this is where we are to make our first difference in the world and then to go on and beyond that. But as Murray was reading, I was reminded, too, that a few years ago when we were going through some choppy waters, we used that passage of Jesus calling Peter out of the boat and walking on the water. And it reminds me that there is no way to please Jesus, to do our best, to present ourselves as one approved. There's no way that we can do that without getting out of the boat. That sometimes we're going to put a foot out there like Indiana Jones, and we're going to not know if the bridge is going to appear as we have the faith to put our foot where the bridge should be. Sometimes it is necessary, if we're going to please Christ and present ourselves to God as one approved, we have to go into the unknown. We've been there on different things. We have done that, and God has proven faithful, and we have shown one another that if we pull together, God does amazing things, even miraculous things, through the corporate body. We also had this passage, and I opened to that one, that we used about that same time. We opened another passage that was central to us at that point in time. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. We've had some fear. We've had some people say, whoa, wait a minute, we better be thinking about this. We better rethink our direction. And yet, if we are going to present ourselves to God as one approved, there are those times when we will be afraid, because it will make no sense to the human mind to do what is faithful in following Christ. It just won't happen. The disciples saw that over and over again, whether it be with feeding a multitude, walking on water, or trying to hide from the reality of life in a locked room. Jesus just violates all those boundaries and comes in anyway and does what Christ will do, and that's lead people to life. But it's scary. And it needs to be. And so it was years after that that for our leadership orientation and in worship, we came off of Brené Brown's TED Talk on daring greatly, and what it and the necessity of making ourselves vulnerable to life. If we're going to really be followers of Christ, that there is vulnerability with that. And bottom line is, we have to turn over our lives. And we sing that in a variety of ways, but Brené Brown put it so eloquently and poignantly and sometimes kind of crassly that we have to turn off our control and say, okay. And putting it, she's not necessarily a religious or Christian author, but in our context, we have to say, all to you, Christ, all to you. And I will follow whatever this song is. So anyway, so yesterday I was in the garden. As you know, our garden might not be used much, but we do have some things planted because Pastor Jenny said she would appreciate a couple things. But I don't plant my vining crops, and most of what she would plant here would be vining crops. And I don't plant those until June 21st. My statement is that I avoid the stem beetles at that point, even though entomologists have said you're really stupid because that's not true. But regardless, what do they know about bugs? So anyway, but I thought, well, I'd better plant them now because who knows what the next week will do, and if it rains, we could be out of there. So I went out there, and there are weeds all over. Our garden has never had weeds, but it's taken 11 years to get dirt, too. It is so mellow and so, it's just beautiful. I could even pull the weeds and you didn't have to dig them and all that. It was just, you could shake the roots off. And it's taken 11 years to get real good dirt. But boy, were there weeds. Big weeds. And I was pulling a lot of weeds. Let's go to that next slide. I don't know what it is for sure. But it might be one that reminded me of it. Yeah, it said it says, this is what happens when you ignore something for a long time, Greg. That was my garden yesterday when I went out there. And so it wasn't pretty. If we ignore something long enough, it won't be good. And so we have to have some attention to it. You've heard of the farmer that got a new farm or a new pastor, I'm sorry, and he was showing the pastor around. It could be some of you with Pastor Jenny, I don't know. But anyway, they're going from one thing to the other. Yep, that's a beautiful barn. You have done so much work on that barn. You and God are doing marvelously well. And then there was this the field that was all straight rows and clean, cultivated. And the farmer says, yeah, this used to be really weedy, but now look at it. Oh, you and God have done amazingly with this farm. It just, you can be very proud of this. And they went to something else, and the preacher again says, you and God have done so well with this. And the farmer finally said, you know, preacher, I appreciate that you're saying that God and I have done well with this farm, but you should have seen it when God had it all by himself. So So it takes some effort, time, and attention, and you can't ignore something for a long, long time. You have to give it some attention. We, at one point in time, we talked about the word enthusiasm. Methodists were called enthusiasts at one time. And we were a pain in the Church of England's side because we were too enthusiastic and too emotional. I thought of that this morning when you were all dancing in church. But anyway, enthusiasm is just it's a prefix en and a root word theos. Confirmation class, I don't know if there's anybody here from the confirmation class, but every one of them should know what theos is. Theos is the word for God. In God means you're enthusiastic. Enthusiasm is having God in your life and having passion for living. And so the opposite of enthusiasm is apathy and leaving things alone and thinking somehow it'll take care of itself. And so we talked about that at one point in time in our road together. But we get in a hurry. We get impatient. Let's go to that next slide, I think. You know, sometimes we want life to be like this, don't we? We want the road work to take about that much time and that much distance. And then we want to get on with life. It's taken 11 years to get dirt in my garden. And the weeds are still there. When I ignored it for about 2 months, the weeds are still there. By the way, they're all pulled now. But it just doesn't happen that easily, does it? It is constant attention. And it's interesting, too, that it says, do not pass. Not that anybody would ever get impatient in a work zone. But as soon as the road work ends, don't pass yet. Don't pass. We want to get in a hurry. That's just who we are. God's been at this a long time, you know. And not only that, after I leave, after you leave, we've had a number of people leave by a variety of means. After you leave, God will still be at work. God's time frame is a little different than ours. God's patience is much greater than ours is. I'm excited for the work that is yet to happen in this continuing saga that you all are up to. But I think it's also important to realize that it will not be easy. The church in the world today is a lot like this. Let's go to the next one. It's growing petunias in the cracks of the concrete. There is something in that seed that says, we are going to continue on this to be what God has called us to be and become what God has called us to become. We will continue. We will break this thing if we have to. We will be there. And that same seed to become what God has called you to be and become is in each one of us, and it doesn't come easy. And sometimes it's growing seeds in the concrete. But it can happen in you, in me. But it will never happen easily. And it always takes attention to allow God to make you into what God has called you to be and become, to make this church, to continue to have an impact in this community, to continue to have an impact in the world. It is exciting, but it is growing flowers in the cracks of the concrete. That is the nature of the church. The good thing is, through the history of the Christian faith, the church has always done best when the odds against it were greatest. And there are many people who would say right now in America, the odds against the church are greater than they've been in their lifetimes. It's an exciting time for enthusiastic people. So to God be the glory, this day and always. Thank you for the privilege and headaches of being your pastor for 11 years. Amazing ride. Thank you. And I think the choir has a number for us during the offering, and the ushers are going to take this offering that we give to God. May God be praised.